Listen, if you're a government contractor, you know, you're a small business who's doing contracts with the government, you have to track your contracts and your task orders and your tasks and your deliverables and all this other stuff, right? If you are paying for the Microsoft 365 suite, which I hope that you are, because if you're doing business with the government, that's what they use, and you probably want to, you know, be smart on how to use these tools. If you're paying for the Microsoft 365 suite, you should be tracking your contracts inside of SharePoint. Let me tell you what you're probably doing. You probably think, yeah, Thurman, you're right, but we're doing that already. And I'm going to tell you that you probably have a library or multiple libraries or teams or whatever you're doing, and you're uploading a bunch of documents that you have to give to the government. And that's not what I'm recommending that you do. That's not how I would say this is the best way to do that. Because there's a more efficient, much better way for you to handle these things, and it's extremely low-hanging fruit. I'm talking about you could build a system inside of SharePoint to help you manage all of this stuff, and it will seem robust, but this is just, again, just SharePoint's power of, you know, where you're barely scratching the surface, and you're pumping out some powerful stuff. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about how you could do that, and then I'm also going to recommend you go watch my YouTube channel, because I'm going to have a video to you know, lend this some context. Anyway, welcome to the SharePoint Help Desk Podcast. I'm your host, Thurman Trotman. This is the show where I talk about SharePoint and other Microsoft tools, but I try to do strategy. I keep it low on the tech, high on the strategy. Because what are you going to be doing if you're driving down the street, washing dishes, whatever you're doing, listening to me talk about stuff that you can't see? So instead of doing that, I'm talking about how you use these things. You know what I mean? So let's get into that. Okay, again, if you're a government contractor, you're going to win a contract. Congratulations to you, Playboy. If you win this contract, here's what's going to come along with these things. You're going to have a task order or multiple task orders. But let's just say you have at least one task order, because you will have at least one. So you have a task order. Under this task order, you have multiple tasks that need to be completed. These tasks usually involve some sort of a deliverable, right? And then you also have to track personnel, because the personnel will be assigned to work on various tasks. And then overall, the big thing overall, this whole thing, you have a position work statement. And that position work statement breaks down all of the stuff that you have to do on this task order. So now let me explain to you how this would work. And again, this is the performance work statement. So you have to, the big overarching thing that, you know, manages all of this, or explains all of this, I should say, is the performance work statement. The performance work statement is like a breakdown of the details of everything. That's a text-based item. I'm not even going to say document, but it's a text-based item. So just keep that in mind as I go through this. All right, now again, I'm saying this is low-hanging fruit, and I'm not joking. I'm dead serious. This is super easy to do, and you should be doing it to track your tasks. And if you're not doing it, again, watch my YouTube video. And if you don't want to do, you don't want to DIY it, then hire me and I'll do it for you. All right. So let's talk about how we're going to list all these things out. This is one way to do it. I know my SharePoint experts who probably are tuning into this too, you would probably have another way of doing this, because there's multiple ways of doing this. But right now, I'm just going with something that we got to get this visual created for the project manager that's going to be managing these tasks. All right. So let's say you go to Teams. Let's say you just won your contract and now you're going to go to Teams because, you know, you want to collaborate with a bunch of people. Y'all have to get some work done. So very easy. Just go spin up a Teams. You're good to go, right? You go to Teams and you're like, okay, we just won this contract. We're going to call it contract ABC XYZ. You just won contract ABC XYZ, so you're going to go create a Microsoft team called contract ABC, XYZ, and get everybody in there that's going to be working this task. Then you're going to take all the deliverables, all the documents that you've been trading with the government, and you're going to throw them into that document library. Off top, you're already doing something that I don't recommend. But that's the natural state of what people do. It's understandable. You're going to throw everything into the document library and tell everybody if they need something, go into the library. Here's my recommendation. You do create the team. That's fine. Create the contract ABC XYZ team. But when you create that team, remember, if you listen to my episode or if you just know by default that when you do that, a SharePoint site automatically comes with your team site, with your team. I want you to go to that SharePoint site that corresponds with your team, and this is where you're going to put these things that I'm about to tell you. So the very first thing, you're going to create a list called task orders. And you're going to track the details of the task orders. Now, you might just have one task order. That's fine. Not a big deal. You know what I'm saying? You're working your way up. You know what I mean? You're rubbing elbows and all that. You're getting in good with the government. You just got your first task, your first contract. You know what I'm saying? And you got one task order. That's fine. Create the list that shows the details of the task order. Whatever it is that you need to track. It could be... You know, and let me not say whatever, because there's probably some things across the board that you're always going to track when you're tracking task orders. So in your task orders list, you're probably going to have like a task order ID. You're going to have a task order title, description, start date, end date, the status of that task order, and probably the value of that task order. So maybe it's a $1 million contract. You put in there that this task order is worth $1 million. So that is your task order list. Now you're going to create another list. This list is called tasks. When you create the task list, you're going to have a task ID, but you're also going to have a task order ID, or you're going to just connect it to the task orders. That is something that you can do in SharePoint that you can't do in Excel. When you create these tasks, you're going to line them up and say all of these tasks are attached to this task order. Because, you know, that's what the relationship is. It's a one task order to many tasks. So as you create these tasks inside of the tasks list, they get attached to a specific task order. Then what else are you going to track? The description of the task, the start date, the end date, the task status. Cool. So we have two sets of information. We have our task orders and we have our tasks. Next, we're going to create deliverables. But the deliverables... It's not going to be a list. Instead, it's going to be a library, because the government is going to be having you give them all kinds of deliverables. It's going to be Word documents. It's going to be you're going to be doing briefings. You're going to be turning in spreadsheets, all this other type of stuff. I'm going to tell you that for a story for another day, I would be talking with the government and being like, listen, do we have to have this in a document? What if I just gave it to you in a more efficient way? Whole nother story. Matter of fact, you can go listen to my last episode about documents, and that'll give you some insight on why I'm even saying that. But we can't change the world yet. Right now, we know people are dealing with a bunch of documents. So you create a library called deliverables, and then we're going to attach these deliverables to tasks. So if there's a task, let's say task number one is... You know, I don't know. What are we on? We're pretending we're on an IT contract here. So one of your tasks is fixing or maybe reporting. Let's say reporting on the status of this system that you are building. And you have to report on the numbers, how many people are using it. What's the uptime, downtime, whatever, all that type of stuff. That's a task that you have to do, and there's a deliverable attached to that task. So you might send them a spreadsheet with a report in it, or you might be doing it in PowerPoint, creating a report somewhere else, and then putting it inside of this PowerPoint and saying that's a deliverable. That's cool. That's fine. But when you create a task inside of the task list, you can connect a deliverable. Or the other way around. When you go and you put a deliverable, let's say you're going to put a sample deliverable. That's what I think should be in here. It's like templates for your deliverables. You put them inside of deliverables, and then you attach them to the task that they belong to. Simple. You know what I mean? Then, after you've created your deliverables, and remember, inside of your deliverables, you're going to have like the actual deliverable because it's a document. You're going to have the type of deliverable. You could say, you know, this needs to be a digital copy or it needs to be printed out. That could be the type. And then you could say the schedule or something like that. Call it a schedule. I don't know. This gets delivered every quarter, or you need to turn this in every week, or you only have to turn this in once for the whole year. Whatever. Stuff like that. That's the information you're going to track inside of your deliverables library. Next, create a personnel list. So the personnel list is exactly what it sounds like. It's just all a list of your people. So you got this person who's, you're going to put their first and their last name. Maybe you could put their qualifications, like, you know, they got these certifications and this degree and whatever. Maybe put in their specialties. And you're going to attach them to a task. Or when you create a task, you can attach a person or people to a task. So in this personnel list, you'll be able to see who your folks are. Maybe even keep a status in them. Maybe you have five people coming on board, and you could say the status of these people are that they're pending joining on board or something like that. Pending coming on board. You could easily see that in your personnel list. But at the same time, you can also see what tasks they're attached to, what they're going to be working. So that's pretty cool. Then, so you've already created your task orders list. You've created your tasks list, you've created your deliverables library, and you've created your personnel list. So now we're tracking all these. Task orders, tasks, deliverables, personnel. Now your performance work statement. Create the performance work statement inside of OneNote because it's a big text item. It has a lot of text in it. You want it to be kind of fluid. It doesn't have to be on a document. I don't think it needs to be signed. So if it doesn't need to be signed, which is also, we could handle that in OneNote because you can turn your OneNote into a PDF and you can get that PDF signed. So there, we've solved the problem of needing to be signed. But any big text item, I say just put it inside of OneNote. You know why? Because as you continue to win more contracts, guess what you're going to do inside of OneNote? You're going to open up more sections and put those things in there. So real quick, let me get on a little OneNote tangent. So if you remember from back in the days when we used to have notebooks that we used to, you know, go to school with, and we had these dividers inside of our notebooks, you would have the notebook. Then you would have those little colorful dividers that would stick out on the side, you know, the yellow paper with the little colorful tab that sticks out. And then between those colorful tabs, you'd have sheets of loose leaf paper. That was your whole notebook. So that is how OneNote looks, except it's a digital version of it. So imagine if you had a project notebook and every one of those dividers was a different project, and then those pieces of paper were your items. So let's say we have a project notebook, and then one of the sections, one of those dividers was called contract ABCXYZ. And then the first piece of paper, the first piece of loose leaf, that is the PWS. And then you keep adding other pieces of loose leaf for any other thing that you need that is going to be a long text document that needs to be tracked for your project. Super simple. But right now, we just got the PWS. I hope that made sense. I like giving that analogy because that's literally what OneNote is. It just looks just like that. Okay, we got our task orders, our tasks, our deliverables, our personnel, and our PWS. Create a site. No, I'm sorry, not create a site. You already have a site because you created a team and it came with a site. On your site, you can update the navigation. Update the navigation to be links to these things. The PWS, I'd probably put that first because it's like a big overarching thing, but alphabetical order is usually cool because people will scan and you want to get them to see quickly what they're looking for. So alphabetical order usually works for everybody. So put the task orders, the tasks, the deliverables, the personnel, and the PWS. Put links, put that, update the side navigation of your site to have links to those things. Or you could have buttons on your front page that lead to those things. Every single time that you get a new employee, or every single time that one of your current employees needs to find a thing, Guess where they're going? One place. That project's, I'm sorry, that contract, that specific contract site. They're going to that site and they can find any task, any deliverable. They can see other personnel. If they're feeling froggy, they can look up the PWS if they wanted to. All of that stuff. As you hire personnel, they'll be able to just go there and see that information. Why are we emailing things to them? Just get them on board and let them see that. And if they can't get on board, let's say there's some technical issue stopping that. If you need to email, you can do that. You can actually go, you can find those things quickly. You can find the information for your task order. You can find the information for your tasks, your deliverables, whatever, and email it. You know what I mean? You could, remember, you could export these things. So if you needed to show them, hey, here's all the tasks you'll be working on once you get on board, you filter the screen, show a certain amount of tasks, export it to Excel, send them the Excel spreadsheet. And they can have a copy of it, and it's fine because that's not some weird copy floating around. That's just an export of that information. So when this person finally does get on board, all they got to do is go to that contract site. And here, I'll do you one better. What you should have is an intranet homepage. So you have a company homepage. And there should be a section that says something like contracts. And then underneath the contracts, you have links to each contract site. So if I got hired and I'm told, hey, you're on contract ABCXYZ, go to the homepage. You'll see all the details for that. I go click a button on the homepage that says contract ABCXYZ. And I get taken to this page that has all of this stuff. I mean, taken to the site that has all my stuff. Task orders, tasks, deliverables, personnel, the PWS, anything else that I want to include there. It's all there for contract ABCXYZ. This is what I mean by low-hanging fruit. Why would you not do this? Okay, wait. I sound accusatory. I sound negative. Let me not do that. Maybe you're not doing that because you don't know you could do that. So I take that all back. I apologize. Because at the end of the day, a lot of these Microsoft tools people use and, you know, never got any formal training on them or don't even know the power of what they got. That's fine. That's fine. So I take that back. You won't do it because you don't even know about it. And I'm telling you about it. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to connect you to that good information. You know what I'm saying? So when you have a new contract, you can just spin up the same site because now you got a template. And plug all your information in. Why would you do it any other way? Once you know better. Because now you know better. Now that you know better, you got to do better. You understand what I'm saying? I think that's it. This is short and to the point, and this is a very important episode. I think right here, what I just did is spent 15 minutes explaining something that, for free, this is a free set of information that could save you time, headache, and money. And that's what I do. I save people time, headache, and money. So now that you know this information, here's what you do. Send someone on your team, or maybe you got to do it yourself. Send somebody on your team to look at the corresponding YouTube video for this podcast. It's going to be in the show notes. I'm saying that because I don't have a video recorded yet. I'm about to record it after this. You know what I'm saying? So just look in the show notes of this episode and it will be there and you'll be good to go. Send your person, whoever's on your team, whoever's the PM that needs to know this information, send them to my YouTube channel. Let them see that. You know what? No, I'm right. Yes. Send your PM to that channel, because what I'm going to do is show it to you in action. I'm not going to show you how to do it. I will show you how to do it if there's enough demand. Because I don't know. I'm thinking like, yo, this is important stuff. You need to be doing this. But for all I know, people could be like, yo, what is this jerk talking about? I don't need that. We're good to go. I don't know. So what I'm going to do on a YouTube video is show you what this looks like. And then I'll put a link to say, like, if you really want to get this done, yo, you could, I could create a course, show you all the details on how to do this, or just hire me and I'll come do it for you. And that's it. That's it. That's all I wanted to say today. You know what I'm saying? Let me know if this was helpful. Nah, don't let me know if it was helpful. Matter of fact, yes. Go to, what is that? Apple Podcasts, reviewed podcast. Please leave feedback so that I could use that to tell other people to come check me out. just like a post I just did on LinkedIn the other day where I gave a training, and then after giving the training, I got a whole bunch of feedback, some unsolicited, great positive feedback, people saying like, oh man, this was great training, da-da-da-da-da. And normally I'd be like, yeah, that's great, and I'd move on. But this time I actually captured it, and I posted it on LinkedIn to show people like, yo, this is why you should hire me, because we're going to have a good time. You're going to learn, get some really good information. I'm going to engage, and you know, I'll be worth your time and money. Filling your people up with great information so that they could come make your company better. That's what I'm here for. For all these project managers out here, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, listen, every episode I like to do LinkedIn love. This week I am showing LinkedIn love to Michelle B. Griffin, Brenda Mella, and my peoples, Michelle J. Raymond. They did what's called a LinkedIn trifecta talk. They do it every month. It's a LinkedIn audio event. I freaking love LinkedIn audio events. I'm all in on these joints. Anyway, they did a LinkedIn trifecta talk. It was super helpful. I chimed in, of course, with a question about my newsletter. They gave me some great feedback. I'm about to drop a newsletter. Stay tuned for that. If you already follow me on LinkedIn, just be prepared to see that. You're going to see a dope newsletter. I'm not trying to do it the way everybody else do it. I'm going to try to put a little freak on it. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, get ready to see that. If you're not following me on LinkedIn, that's THERMANTROTMAN, Thurman Trotman. And that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is the SharePoint Help Desk podcast. I drop every Tuesday night. I try to. My regular listeners know how true that statement is. I try to. Don't worry. As I build my team and things get easier, then it'll make it so much easier for me to just go to a studio, record the stupid podcast, one of my favorite things to do, and then just walk away. And they edit, publish, do all that stuff for me. That's it. Thank you so much for tuning in. And again, follow me on LinkedIn. That's the best place to initially get connected with me, because I put everything out on LinkedIn, and I post every single day, at least twice a day. I'm gonna talk to you. Thanks.